Dan Riker recently left Google, where he was director of climate change and energy initiatives. Now he's executive director of the Stanford Center on Energy Policy and Finance. Dan Riker, welcome to Living on Earth.
Good to be with you.
You've been in business at Google. You were in government. You were Assistant Secretary of Energy in the Clinton administration. And you also worked on the Obama transition team on his stimulus fund package, which was a lot of money. That was something like $37 billion. Here he's asking Congress for about something shy of $30 billion for the 2012 budget. Boy, we interpret that as an increase, but looked on the stimulus, it was a hit.
The stimulus package obviously was designed to deal with a critical economic problem, to put people back to work, and it was expected, obviously, to be a one-time infusion of cash to try to jumpstart the economy. This is an ongoing budget for energy at the Energy Department, and it is good to see that the president has asked for some increases in some important categories.
A lot of the money that he hopes to get is for research and development.
Yes, much of the Department of Energy's work is in the energy area is focused on research and development. How do you develop the next generation of solar panels, and how do you improve wind turbines and nuclear power plants? And that is money that goes into the national labs, that goes out to universities and to industry to make the breakthroughs that'll improve the reliability and lower the cost of these kinds of technologies.
But for somebody who's been at business, you're at Google, for somebody who's been in government as an assistant secretary of energy in the Clinton administration, and now in the academic world, what do you think is the role of government in energy R&D or energy development?
I think government has an important role in advancing clean energy technology and actually backing the projects that initially deploy those technologies. I think government has an important role in addressing climate change, improving U.S. security and competitiveness through energy technology. So I think it's an important role, and it's an important role particularly if it leverages private sector capital, large amounts of private sector capital. And I think that's increasingly the approach that this administration is taking. Put a dollar in to a project and get $5 or $10 of private sector capital to follow it, and you can do good things for these energy technologies in terms of bringing them down the cost curve and getting them deployed in a large-scale way.
Last November, in a news conference, the president acknowledged that cap-and-trade was basically all but dead on arrival, DOA. But he did say that there's more than one way to skin a cat. So cap-and-trade is DOA. The EPA is getting a big slice. But the things at the DOE are actually looking pretty good.
So you can get at these this critical need we have to move a lot more clean energy technology into actual use. You can get at that in different ways. One is to put a price on pollution, on carbon emissions. That doesn't seem to be headed anywhere legislatively. Another way to do it is to actually, through R&D and help with deployment, lower the cost of these clean energy technologies and increasingly have them replace the dirtier ones. And I think that's increasingly what this president is working to do. If we're not going to put a price, as we say, on carbon emissions, let's at least lower the cost of these important technologies and have them increasingly deployed.
In his State of the Union address, the president talked about having two big energy goals. The one was 80% of the energy he wants from clean energy sources by 2035, and he wants 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2015. Pretty ambitious.
Yeah, they're both ambitious goals. The big goal of 80% clean energy by 2035, it needs to be understood in context. This would not only be renewable energy sources like solar and wind and geothermal, but it would also be cleaner approaches to various fossil fuels. It would include nuclear power. So it's pulling the entire energy spectrum together, the entire package together, and asking ourselves, can we clean them all up and deploy them in a very, very aggressive way and get to a point in 2035 where we're getting most of our energy from cleaner sources. The goal for plug-in cars, I think, is an important one. We finally have come to a point where the large auto manufacturers from General Motors to Nissan to Ford are bringing plug-in electric vehicles to market soon. And I think it's a good goal, and there's some ways that the government can help achieve that goal, for example, putting money into providing charging stations around major cities.
And in fact, there's something like $200 million for communities to invest in electric car infrastructure.
Yeah, I think that's it's an important thing to do. We don't want to have that be the stumbling block to the large scale deployment of these vehicles. They offer a great step forward in terms of cutting pollution and reducing our dependence on foreign oil and greening up our vehicle fleet. So let's make sure that we can charge them in a simple, cost effective way for people who are the initial buyers of these cars.
The big hit is taken by fossil fuels. The president said it was coming, and he's done that in his last budget proposals as well. Fossil fuels get cut, 44% at the time that energy efficiency and renewables is actually getting a 44% increase.
Well, so what we need to understand is this is a budget proposal that the president is making to the Congress. Both the Senate and the House will take up this proposal. They'll send it through separate processes, and they'll get together and figure out what the final budget is. And I fully expect that these fossil energy cuts will, in fact, be restored by the Congress. So we need to continue to make improvements in cleaning up fossil energy sources, coal and oil and natural gas. And good progress is being made, and the government has a role in that. So I think we'll see some restorations there. I'm pleased to see these rather significant increases in funding proposed by the president for energy efficiency and renewable energy. That's an area of huge, huge promise where, again, the private sector will invest alongside the government in improving these technologies.
Is there something in his proposal you really wish the president hadn't cut?
Well, yes. There's another side to the whole challenge we've got in developing and deploying clean energy technologies, and that is you can get them to work in the laboratory. You can build the first small pilot plant, but often you have a real problem getting the first large couple of commercial plants built. They're very expensive. They're high risk. And there's a program that provides what are called loan guarantees that the federal government has been backing. And unfortunately, in the case of renewable energy, this budget cuts pretty significantly the loan guarantees that are going to be made available for scaling up renewable energy technologies into large initial commercial plants. And I'd love to see that kind of money put back in, because it's one thing to get these things out of the laboratory. It's another thing to get, 50 or 100 plants actually built. And to get to that 50 or 100 plant number, you got to get the first couple of built. And that's where the private sector is very reluctant to invest because the risks are too high. And that's where the government can play a very significant role. And these loan guarantees are quite a good way of making that happen. So I'd love to see Congress put more money into the loan guarantee program.
Well, there is money in the president's proposal to fund a $36 billion loan guarantee for large nuclear facilities.
Yes. So on the one hand, the president has put a significant amount of money into loan guarantees for the next generation of nuclear power plants. And I think that's useful spending. It will allow us to see whether this next generation of nuclear plants are going to be work commercially and technically. But we ought to be doing the same thing for large-scale renewable energy plants, solar, wind, geothermal, biomass, and the like. And I'm hopeful that Congress will see fit to do the same for renewables as the president has proposed for nuclear.
The Republicans are not happy with the president's budget. They're not happy with the EPA's budget proposal, and they're not happy with the Department of Energy. It's going to be a battle royale.
It will. Budgets are typically hard fought, even among folks in the same party. Energy budgets in particular, because there isn't agreement on energy technologies. You have people who are big fans of nuclear power, big fans on the other side often who are big fans of renewable energy, and all the technologies in between. So this shouldn't be surprising that we're going to see a battle here. And obviously with a change in leadership in the House of Representatives from Democrats to Republicans, I think the battle is even going to be tougher. And added to that, of course, are the difficult fiscal conditions we find ourselves in Washington. I will say that wherever we end up, it's going to be significantly less money than, in many respects, than what we have been spending on clean energy over the last couple of years as a result of the stimulus bill that Congress passed a couple of years ago. That provided many tens of billions of dollars for clean energy, and we are seeing some of the real fruits of that today. So a good example would be the money we provide to insulate homes of poor people, the so-called low-income weatherization program. And the president's budget that he just announced would increase that from about $200 million to $300 million. Compare that to the $5 billion that the stimulus package is now providing, and you get a sense that wherever this currently proposed budget ends up, it will be dwarfed in many respects by the stimulus package that Congress adopted a couple of years ago.
So, Dan Riker, we have the president proposing his 2012 budget, but we don't have a 2011 budget yet, and we're living on a continuing resolution. The Republicans want to take $1 billion out of this year's budget, and yet we're still spending many billions of dollars from the stimulus package.
Yes, it's a curious set of circumstances where the president has proposed the budget for 2012 with some nice increases versus 2010. But meanwhile, the 2011 budget, the current budget, was never actually finalized by Congress, and it's operating under what's called a continuing resolution. And just last week, the new Republican House has proposed to slash that current budget for clean energy by almost $1 billion. Meanwhile, from a couple of years ago, we still are spending many tens of billions of dollars out of the stimulus package for energy. So it's an unusual kind of confluence of factors when it comes to clean energy spending in this country.
When you look at President Obama's budget proposal for 2012, what message is he sending out in terms of energy efficiencies, in terms of climate change?
I think the president is sending a message that we've got to work across the whole spectrum of energy technologies, from renewables to energy efficiency to fossil to nuclear. We've got to approach them from early stage research and making breakthroughs there to late stage actual commercial deployment of these technologies, and we've certainly got to make progress there if we're going to have practical impacts. I think he's struck a pretty good balance across the whole spectrum. There are areas that I would take issue with in various respects, but overall, I think he's come up with a sensible budget, a respectable budget, one that would do a lot for clean energy technology, for clean energy deployment, and one that I hope Congress gives very serious consideration to.
Dan Riker is Executive Director of Stanford University's Center on Energy Policy and Finance. Dan Riker, thank you very much.
Thank you.